6, please. Matthew chapter 6. We are going to look at exactly three passages this morning, and we're actually going to spend most of our time in Mark chapter 12. So Matthew chapter 6, if you would first, we'll read that when we stand. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Everybody stood without me. Did I say stand? Okay, if I didn't, that's good. You can stand anyhow. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed, Jesus says, that you do not your alms before men. Alms is not exactly identical to giving in a local church. It would include that in the Old Testament, but it would be broader than that. Helping people, any number of things that were basically using your money for someone other than yourself. He says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Wherefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. How do you like that? Do you really think people actually did this? And the answer is, I think so. He goes on to say, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. I don't know what all that means, but I think minimally it means that if someone asked you how much you gave to the missions conference, after a few weeks, you'd probably think, I don't remember. Meaning you don't do it in a way where you have it. If you can tell me everything you have done for the Lord, you have a problem. It ought not to be about that. He goes on to say that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 38. For you that are visiting this morning, I'm very happy you're here. For you that are regulars, you are in for a sermon like I haven't ever preached in this church. So I'll just warn you ahead of time. I'm going to say things in the introduction that I have never totally said publicly. For the first time, a couple of you that sleep will know why I do what I do. And this morning's message is all about money. By the way, if you've been here the last 20 plus years, how many times have I spoken on money? You can't even find how many times. I'm actually just going to speak on a text. Mark chapter 12, verse 38. I didn't really see the connection. And by the way, I'd have to preach on this in a few weeks anyhow, but I'm going to do this because of the missions conference. I never saw the connection with these verses to the following verses till recently. Jesus says, and he said unto them in his doctrine, in his teaching, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations, greetings in the marketplaces, and the chief or the important seats in the synagogues and the uttermost rooms at feast. Then there is this statement that I'll talk about in my introduction, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater, says damnation, that's Old English, just judgment. Let the Lord sort out whether the person is saved or not. That's not the question. You're going to receive judgment for that kind of behavior. Verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld, and this is a very interesting way of saying this, how the people, and the King James is correct in what it says. The Greek word is to throw something. So they cast. He was noticing how they threw or cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich, they cast in or they threw in much. And there came a certain poor widow, one poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And neither one of those words mean anything. But you say, how much is this? Variously explained to be this. It's either 1/64th of a day's wage or 1/100th of a day's wage. So it's something, but it's not a lot. Most authors said it's about enough maybe to, I'm paraphrasing in the modern world, to get yourself a sandwich and fries at McDonald's, maybe, if you get the dollar menu. Okay? That kind of, so it's something, but you know, it isn't exactly a lot of money. So she comes in and throws in this tiny amount of money. And it says, and he, meaning Jesus, called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. And you're like, come on. Folks, I'm sorry. If the poorest person in our church gave 50 cents towards the mission offering and no one else gave anything, I wouldn't be happy. So what is he getting at here? Why is this significant, what this one little widow did? We continue. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want or her destitution did cast or throw in all that she had. And that doesn't mean all that she's going to have for the rest of her life, but everything she had at that time, even for her sandwich for lunch, she put in, even all her living. This morning, I'm going to speak mainly on verses 41 to 44 in reference to the other two passages. I've entitled this, Jesus, One Poor Widow and You. I want to say this. The introduction is for the members of this church is the most important thing I'll say. You will first of all understand why we do what we do and why we don't do other things. And none of it's accidental. And also, we'll get into the text, and I think many of you might even be blessed this morning. I was so blessed by about three people in this room this week. One of the missionary families just couldn't quit talking to me about one person in this room. We'll talk about that as we look at the text. Father, I ask your blessing on this morning. Money's not an issue I deal with very much directly. Never found it very profitable. People that don't give won't give ever. People that are already giving because of your love for them and your great gift for them and your gifts for them, I never want to make those folks feel guilty about anything. I find preaching on money is usually a total waste of time. This morning, I would like us all to look at a story, to grasp what's going on, to be reaffirmed in our faith and what we have been doing. Because if the calculations are correct, within a period of a couple months, this church gave well in excess of $20,000+ to missions. Well in excess of that, maybe $25,000. On top of tithing, on top of giving to missions, the normal monthly giving. That's insanity. And Lord, I think we might learn some things to encourage ourselves in your word this morning. That's my desire. May it be so in Christ's name. You may be seated. Money makes people uncomfortable. As a pastor, it's one of the things as a pastor you must deal with in your own heart and in your own mind. I wrote these down over a two-week period. So I want to share, this is the introduction to the sermon. It's not exciting. It's not meant to be exciting. I wanted to write down in my own thinking how I deal with money so you understand. These are not convictions I came up with on the way to Sunday school this morning. For you that have been awake for 20 years, you know we have practiced this. Number one, I know nothing about anyone's giving in this church. Who gives, who doesn't give, and how much they give or how much they don't give. I intentionally don't do anything with money, so I don't know. So when I see you at the end of this service, I have no idea if you've ever given money to this church, with the exception of a few people. If you're a deacon in this church, I know that you support the church. Kicking and screaming, I will ask Bambi, and she kicks and screams, and I'll say, I need to know if this person's going to be put up for deacon to be a servant of this church. I said, Bambi, you need to look at their money and their giving and see if it's regularly faithful, regularly routine. It appears that they tithe, and it appears that they support the church. I don't know how much that is, but I always know. So I'm just telling you, by the way, are you used to honesty or are you used to religion? That's the only thing I know. So every deacon in this church that's a deacon in the present time, I know supports the church. Is that a fair thing? By the way, Bambi Nichols is not perfect. She would be, but she has some bad friends. Hi, Stacy. Bambi Nichols has two tremendous strengths. I want to share them. She's not here today. I'm not sure why. I want you to know what they are. Number one, she's very good at what she does. Number two, she is the most unnosy person I have ever met. She doesn't know what people give. She has a way of organizing and recording the finances, and she does it in weird ways that I don't understand to make sure when she looks at you, unless you really don't give, she just doesn't know. If I say, how much money do we have in something, she doesn't ever know. She says, I got to look it up. That is the greatest strength of your financial treasure of this church and the school. She's not nosy. By the way, other people would never be anything to do with money because they are nosy. Okay, number two. I never raise money through guilt or greed. Have you noticed that in 20 years? I don't guilt you out, and I'm not interested in you getting wealthy, so I'm not going to promise you God's going to give you 100-fold. By the way, folks, isn't that nonsense? First of all of us in this room, we have too much to eat. Our biggest problem is we're overweight and we want 100-fold. If I'm 100-fold bigger than this, that's scary. I think we can leave that nonsense out. And maybe 100-fold means rewards in heaven that we can cast before Jesus' feet. Yes? So I don't ever raise money through guilt or greed, ever. Number three, I never raise money from guests that come to this church. In total contradiction to the 20 years before me. Yes, members? I don't see you shaking your head. Ron Hill, Don Tice, beat guests to death. In the school, it was expected of me. I remember the first time I walked out here and I was expected to beat people up to get money from them. I said, I'm not doing that again. We'll figure out finances in a different way. And by the way, have we, Tim? Boy, I'm not getting any amens out of the people that used to sleep through all that beating up. I heard as a young man this statement. All they ever talk about at that Baptist church is money. No guest will ever tell that lie about this church. Anytime we have special services, the last one we had, I think, is when Brian and Linda's baby was dedicated. I tell visitors to do what? Don't give. That's not accidental. Number four, I preach and teach only on money as the text or the circumstances require. This is in the text. We were going to get to it. Number five, I want you to look at Mark chapter 12 and verse 40. Boy, I can see this is really interesting to some of you. Maybe you don't really care what your pastors do and why they do it. Tim Kowalk better, because this is who we are here. We're never going back to the games that were played in this church when I'm away at Bible college getting requests for money. But I never got a letter or a call that anybody even knew who I was except when they needed money. No, thank you. Number five, look at Mark chapter 12, verse 40. Notice what these people do. They devour what? I want everyone to look at me. Maybe you'll understand this, but I haven't gotten anybody's attention yet. When a person gets old in this church and they start moving into dementia, you'll quickly realize that Pastor Warren doesn't visit them anymore, because no one will ever claim, I ever went to an old person and tried to get an old person to give this church money. Ever. So when the nice couple, and I can't remember their names, I think Hebethway, but that's not it. He was an old sailor from World War II and his wife. Prathers. Mr. Prather died. Mrs. Prather was totally off the rail. Stacy, did you go visit them? Was she off the rail? How many times did I visit them? Some of you think you didn't visit them because you didn't like them. No. Pastors go after old people's money. Never does a real pastor do that. By the way, God's people will raise the money or we won't. We don't get money from unsaved people. We don't get money from old people trying to manipulate them. I don't guilt you for money. By the way, those five principles I live and die by. And I have done so for 28 years. And I will continue to do exactly that. Now you understand. Now go to the Baptist church and let them talk about money 12 times in a Sunday. And I've even heard of churches that put it on the wall, who gives the most? Yes. Louis? Let's look at the text. I want you to notice, though, that's all Pastor Warren's, and I think Pastor Koch has those same kind of beliefs. I don't know that we've ever talked about those in detail, but you know that's what we do. I want to talk about Jesus, one poor widow and you. Look at verse 41 with me, please. And this is a simple message. There's nothing complex this morning. It says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people, he was looking how the people cast or threw money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain one, in the Greek it's just one poor widow. You know, it doesn't give her a name. Some widow, she comes and she throws in this very small amount. So number one in this text, about Jesus, one poor widow and you, is Jesus saw what she gave. He did. I intentionally do not know. I left out something. Have any of you ever observed what I do during the offering? I never look out. Do you know why I never look out? I never want to know. So at the end of this service, when I see your smiling face, I can smile at you if you have never given God a dime. But understand something. There is somebody who sees. Jesus saw what this widow and what the rich people gave. So Jesus saw what she gave. I intentionally don't look, but Jesus does. He does see. He does know. We don't know what the physical condition of this was. There's a lot of debate about what this was. The temple was destroyed in AD 70. So about 40 or so years later, this temple was destroyed by the Roman army. So we don't know exactly what it looked like. Some people think there was just big containers that a person went and threw the money in. So there is some stuff in some Jewish writing from later that says they weren't just containers, they actually were in the form, I like this, of a trumpet. Like the big horn came down, and they were made of metal. Kind of makes sense in the text. So when you had to throw your money in, and the more money you threw in the thing was metal, the more noise it made. So, you know, if you're bringing your bunch of money, you know, you brought as much metal as you could and you threw it in as long as you could so everybody could go, wow. So Jesus probably not only saw what she did, he heard what she did. So Jesus saw what she gave. I don't. No one else knows really. Some people go around, a couple people in this church, and if you're not aware of who you are, God bless you. They don't give to you or through you because they don't want your nosy nose in their business. By the way, it's not important, but Jesus does know. He knows exactly what's going on. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. It's kind of nice to know that when you're giving to the Lord, it's not anybody else's business, but the Lord does see what you give. And I don't mean just money, it's everything. Look back, if you would, to Matthew 6. We're going to look here twice this morning. Look at Matthew 6, please, in verse 1 again, if you would. Because Jesus specifically tells us, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet. Now, I don't know, friend, is this a reference to what the Mishnah said? That there were they said there were 13 of these trumpet devices. Not a trumpet, but it was made like a trumpet that you threw your money in. So if you wanted to really impress people, you brought rolls of pennies and just kept throwing them in, and they kept hearing it, and everybody would go, whoa. That's the opposite of what the Lord wants. But my friend, when you do give, when you do serve, when you do love him, when you do what he wants you to do, whether anybody else sees, is not real significant. The Lord does see. So don't sound the trumpet. Don't do that. Verse 3 says, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. You shouldn't even be keeping records. I've been in services before where the pastor got up and said how many times he read the Bible and he had it. I'm like, why would you spend time writing down how much you read the Bible? Just read the Bible. But then what would you have to talk about except yourself? What you do is not significant. The Lord sees what you do. He sees what the woman did. I get to tell two stories. One funny, one good. This week, I came to work someday. I don't know what day it was. Could have been Thursday. Could have been Monday. Could have been Tuesday. Could have been Wednesday. I walk in here. I think it was Thursday, though. I get here. I have to use the restroom. I come out here, and there's all kinds of... There was a box out here that held a... What do you call that thing? A sink for the nursery. A sink and what do you call the rest of the stuff? The vanity. Thank you, Tim. The vanity. And I noticed the box was open, and the packing was out all over the place. I looked around, didn't see it, and I thought it was for the nursery. So I walk in there, and there's Ron putting a vanity in when nobody was around looking. Now, I didn't compliment Ron on that. I will confess, I did not compliment Ron on his work, though it was a blessing. Ron, what did I ask you? I said, Ron, how in the world are you doing this work? Where's Frenchie at? He has to be here to tell you what to do. See, he wasn't even listening to me, but you remember now. Usually there's four people doing one job. It's usually like this. Frenchie's telling Ron, Ron's telling Peter, and Jonathan's up doing the work. But in this case, it was Ron doing the work, and it's like, how can you work without Frenchie? And I don't know, he said Frenchie had to go do something, chew bubble gum, who knows. But can I be honest with you folks, there's 10,000 people, not that many, but there's all kinds of people doing all kinds of stuff, and they don't have to let everybody know. You say it's okay not to know. Why? Because the Lord sees what you give. He's pretty aware, and he doesn't need your help, and you don't need to post it on the board and say, look at me. It's okay. If I'd have never seen what Ron did, the Lord would have seen, and that's the only person that matters. By the way, do you recognize that? So when you start going, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, the world has ended, nobody notices me, 99% of life is thankless. Hello? Every woman in this room that's a mother knows something. 99% of what you do, no one notices until you don't do it. Hey, you know what? When I go to the drawer and open the drawer and I look for those white skivvies, do you know my drawer grows white skivvies? They just grow there, fresh, nicely folded, just like the Navy, Noel. They come that way. Hello? You know, when I go to the refrigerator, stuff just grows in my refrigerator. Doesn't it yours? I didn't mean it that way. So that didn't come out right, did it? Tom, be quiet back there. You've been away. You two guys, separate you two guys. There's three guys I got to keep separate. You, Steve, and Ralph. I know. Keep you guys apart. To be honest with you, friend, no one knows what a mother does until a mother's not there. Men, I used to know how to cook. I used to know how to iron. I used to know how to do laundry. I can't even find the laundry now. I know it's someplace. Cooking? Yeah, I cook pretty well. I cooked at N&T's three times this week. My friend, I say again, Jesus saw what she gave. You say, Pastor Warren, nobody notices. Look at me. Nobody ever notices. And even if they do, let's think of Sparky. She's a lovely young lady, tremendously gifted at these plays, and she has a lot of good helpers. We have a great play, and everybody does this. But you do realize 99% of the work happened not there, but at other times that nobody knew about. Folks, you got to get it through your head that the Lord knows and he sees what you give. and be good with that. Now I got to tell my favorite story. This happened in the 1970s right in this church. We didn't have these kind of chairs. We had those old plastic chairs over there. And I was seated somewhere. It was somewhere back in here, maybe where Ade is seated. And it was offering time, and there was a visitor seated about where Daniel's seated. So Daniel, you know, you were the visitor, and the offering plates were passed. And as they passed the offering plate, now this was in the 1970s. They passed the offering plate. It was a visitor, unsaved guy probably. He wanted to show people that he was putting money in. But all he had was a 20. I think he thought 20 was a little much for God, you know, in one service. So when he got the offering plate, I still remember this. Mike, you were probably taking the offering at the time. When the offering plate came by, it was the funniest thing that I've ever seen in church, is he got it and he put that 20, it'd be like a $100 bill now maybe. He put that in there and he wanted change. And when he reached in to get the change, he dropped the plate. And the money went every place. I can still picture that. It's been 40 years. Look at me, friend. Whether you give $10 or $20 or $2,000 or $200,000, the Lord sees what you give. He's not blind. Don't worry about what other people think. I wouldn't have known Ron was up for putting that thing in. Yesterday, I think there were some people over here working on this house over here. There were way too many chiefs and not many Indians over there, but they got it finished. Got them, what do you call that thing, Dada? A water softener put in? I mean, folks, there's just people, and may I say this, it's not just here. How about missions? I don't know how much you give for missions. I know kind of what we do. Well, let's go on to the second idea. And by the way, the second idea is more important than the first one, though it won't sound like it at first. Look at verse 41 again, please. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury. So he was observing how they did it. We'll get to that in point number three. And many that were rich cast in much. And if these were trumpets made of metal, you would know because you'd hear the money. And it says, and there came a certain poor widow, you know, just one poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. I would say, number one, Jesus saw what she gave. And number two, more importantly, some ways, Jesus saw that she gave. My friend, she was a widow and she didn't have anything. And oftentimes, if I understand people, and if there's anything I understand is how people think, I don't have anything. So I can't give. I'll let other people give. It's not only what she gave, it's the fact that she took whatever she had and threw it in. This missions conference, now I say this again, Tom, I asked you that question. 16 grand or so, you think. Now I know that $1,000 came from one other source. I know that for sure. And I think a little bit came from another source outside the church. But that means our church probably raised these group of people $12,000, $13,000, $14,000. Plus we raised $9,200 already for Kenya. That's about $23,000 or so. Plus, we didn't miss on tithes and offerings during these couple months. My point being is, there were some people that sacrificed, and it wasn't just wealthy people. My guess, if I would, which I won't go through, I would see people in this church that have very little, that, look at me, didn't use how little they make as an excuse for not giving. They just gave what they could give. And that little bit they could give, plus the little bit someone else could give, plus maybe a lot some other people could give, adds up to $23,000, $24,000. That's the way it always works. Now I'm going to say some nice things about people. Renee Randall and her family kept JJ and Valerie. 4, 5, 6, 7 families, I don't even know how many, put the wares up in the naval base at the Navy Lodge for the whole time they were here. And both a husband and wife, Hermie, are you here this morning? They told me they have never had that nice of a place, any place they've been. Comfortable, roomy, clean, no dogs, no cats, no rats, nothing growing in the refrigerator, nothing like that. You know, it was a real blessing to them. But the people that couldn't stop talking, the Segurados came here on Monday. And they stayed with Mrs. DeGraw. They want to adopt her as their grandmother. Oh, I went out to lunch with them, and the kids and mom and dad just couldn't talk. Mrs. Grant, they called your abuelita, the kids did. I don't know if you even know what abuelita means, but grandmother. You say, she had the opportunity, she had a place, and they were so happy. And they kept saying, she treats my kids like my grandmother, and they loved it. Nancy made meals, a meal. I don't know if it was any good or not. Nobody was poisoned, so I guess it was good. Louis had us made a meal for the missionaries. We had a wonderful international dinner. The thing that missionaries were most shocked at, folks, you don't get this because you come here. Every time a new family missionaries comes here and sees it, they're like, when you see us set up the tables on Tuesday night and take them down on Wednesday, and there's 50 people helping, the missionaries are like, because in most churches, one or two families do everything. You see, friend, it's not how much you have. It's not how wealthy you are. It's not how big a shot you are. It's the fact of that you give. And the Lord not only sees what you're giving, He sees that you give. And you say, Pastor, I'm a poor widow. I think we have a widow here that kept a family. But I tell you, that family was so happy and so pleased, and she was such a blessing to the kids and to the husband and wife that they like want to adopt her, maybe take her back to Spain, take care of the kids. I mean, they loved it. Why? Because it's not how much you got, it's that you do it. Wow. I wanted to raise $5,000. I was hoping we could raise most of it in the first day. We raised more of that than the first day and ended up so far with $9,200. Look at me, friend. To people that I don't know all the pastors in Kenya and Tanzania, South Sudan and Uganda. I don't know those people. I know four or five of them. The main pastors that I got to meet, Jenny and I got to meet 2010. I know some of the missionaries. They're great people. We're going to be a blessing to people that don't even know us. You see, all of this was done at the same time we had raised money for the missions trip for the teens. I can't believe we did both at the same time. So the idea is not only what you give, it's that you give. And the Lord sees that. You don't make excuses. Now, I'm going to say something that's hard to say. It's not hard to hear. 28 years ago, a little more, I became a senior pastor. And I noticed something among families, so I'm going to speak directly to your family because I don't think anything has changed. I noticed that most people live their life with this statement in the bottom of their heart. Not yet, but when. Get this, not yet, but when. So it's like, yes, Pastor Warren, I'm a teenager. I'm just a teenager. Not yet. I'm not going to get involved in that kind of thing yet, but when I get older. So when they finally get older and they go to college, it's like, well, but I'm in college. Not yet, but when I graduate from college. And when they graduate from college, they're looking for a job. It's not yet. When I get my job and get settled in, and they get settled in their job, and they finally get there, but it's not yet, but when I get married. And then it's, do you hear yourself, yes or no? And then you get married, and then, of course, once you get married, those things happen. Things. Is that a good word for things? Those children happen. Then all of a sudden, you know, the Segurados were so funny when they said about four, but it isn't going to be eight the next time they come back. I said, I told them a couple times, six would be good. By the way, children happen. And then you're like this, well, Pastor Warren, not yet, but when the kids grow up. And then they go to college, because everybody knows college is very cheap. So it's like, Pastor, not yet. I mean, you know, once the kids graduate from college, and by the way, the time the kids graduate from college, about that time, guess what happens? Somewhere along there, your parents start getting sick. And then it's like, well, not yet, Pastor Warren. I'm going to get to doing these things. Look at me. The widow came and gave. It's not how big it is and who's impressed. It's that you give. It's that you serve. And you do it now. Because if you don't do it now, you never do it. I saw this in the 1980s in St. Louis, and it hasn't changed a bit. People, it's not yet. Give me a few years. Give me a few years. I can remember this year, my son moves in with me. What? Don't you have a job? Don't you have a house? Yeah, but Dad, we got a month or two in between, so we got to stay with you. And it's like, you hated it. No, I like the grandkids. John irritates me, but the grandkids are good. It's like, then you get rid of, it's just, there's always a problem. And John's there, and Amy's here, and then my mother was sick before that, and now Jenny's mom is sick. Folks, there's never a right time. Look at me. Look at me. Don't miss the point. Drop the not yet. Don't get into this little game. Well, not now, but because it never get there. You know what this means? Look at me. My mother taught me to tithe the first time somebody gave me a dollar bill. She was not nice. She didn't even do it in a Christian fashion. I got a dollar bill sometime when I was 5 or 6 or 7. I got a dollar for something, and Mom said, Ralph, 10 cents of that goes to the Lord. That's a lot of money when you only have a dollar. You say, wait till I get a few hundred thousand, then I don't mind giving the Lord some. And it's like, nope, 10 cents. You know, she made me do that until I got out of high school. She made me tithe. You say, does she still make you tithe? No, my wife does. It works the same. Folks, it doesn't work. I'm going to get around to it. It's not, I'm going to do it someday. You say, I'm a widow. I'm poor. I'm a new Christian. None of that matters. None of that. Well, let's look on. Look, if you would, back to verse 43 and 44. I'm not, by the way, folks, I don't really want to encourage people here. There's so, obviously, if we raise $23,000, $24,000, $25,000 in this church, plus tithes, plus offerings, there's a lot of people giving. I don't know who they are. But I do know this. We all need to be re-encouraged to realize Jesus sees what we give. He also sees that we give. He understands your circumstances, and the circumstances are never good. Never, ever, ever. I don't know what's going to happen with my mother-in-law. Maybe she's going to have to stay with the sister. Maybe she's going to have to stay with us part of the time. But I'm pretty sure this. We pretty much concluded she's not living on her own much anymore. If you think there's a time when finally I'm free of all problems, about that time your health starts falling apart. Never happens. Number three, Jesus saw what she gave, that she gave, and number three, how she gave. That's the reason in verse 41 it says, he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. There's more to it than just what and that. There's the how. In verse 43, when he brings the disciples to him, he says, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. And you're thinking, Jesus, your math is not good. That doesn't make sense. But you see, it's not so much how much gets tossed in. I want everyone to look up here. Do you think the Lord that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, actually the earth is and the fullness thereof. I don't think he's poor. I don't think he's in, you know, he's not sitting there thinking, man, if that person doesn't start tithing, I don't know what I'm going to do. It isn't about that, friend. It's the opposite of that. The Lord is looking at how a person gives. So when he's measuring this, he's not belittling people that honestly make more money and give more. That's not what he's dishonoring. He's actually dishonoring people that want to tell people what they do. That's the part that gets judged. You know, I want everybody to know how much of an important guy I am. So you go through the list and find out who gives the most so you can be up there among them and you can feel good about yourself. By the way, you can't ever feel good about yourself because the widow ruins all that. In Greek, it's even more specific than in English. English, the second line is translated different in the King James. Look what it says. This poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in, and this is the phrase, out of their abundance. So you see, they went there and they looked in their wallet and they said, well, I have some money in my wallet. I have a bunch of dollars and I have a 50 and I have another 50 and I have a bunch of dollars. And let's see what I got over here. I have a dollar over here. Ooh, I'm rich. I didn't know I had that 20. I got a 20 there and I got a 1 here and I got a 1 here. I'm rich. So are you ready? Look at me. I'm throwing in a 20. Sounds good. The difference is, this woman did what? She put it all in. changes the dynamic. Look at me, friends. You can't look and say, well, I'm going to see what Mike Hall and Jim Duncan and Tim Kolak and Ralph Warren give and a few others. I'm going to compare myself to them so I can. This poor widow gave everything she had, at least for that period of time. That's giving. I'm going to tell a story I've told before. It's my favorite story. If it bores you, too bad. Probably fourth or fifth year in St. Louis as a pastor, one of my old couples, the husband, got sick. They were the second oldest couple in our church. Bill and Gladys were the oldest, and Bennett and Juanita Hepplethwaite were the second oldest. Bennett got sick. He was in his late 80s, somewhere in there, and he started failing. He started failing gradually, and he had congestive heart failure, which that's what a lot of people die from. Your heart just fails. He slowed down over a period of 6 months, and then finally there came a time where he just couldn't do much, and he stayed at home. So on one Sunday, I noticed Bennett and Juanita wasn't there, and she stayed with him. You know, that kind of irritated me. You know, I'm going to admit my sin this morning. It irritated me. He can stay at home by himself. You know, that's what I'm thinking. And she stayed at home with him. I visited them a couple times. They were nice folks, good, solid, solid people. And after 13 weeks or so, Bennett Hepplethwaite went home to be with the Lord. We did his funeral in two locations. We did the funeral there where we lived. I don't know if it was on a Friday night or a Thursday or something, but we did the funeral there, and then we drove to southern Missouri where he was from originally, and we did another funeral there where his family was. Then we all came home, and on Sunday morning, unbelievably, Juanita just lost her husband. Juanita's in church. No, Juanita wouldn't impress you. She came to this church. You wouldn't even see her. She was quiet. She didn't talk much. She wasn't good looking. She had nothing to appeal to her, except she had one thing that all those old farmers in my church in St. Louis had. There was something about them that was character that just went through the world. I mean, it just that who I am is who I am, and this is who I am. None of this emotional nonsense. One day I'm in it, one day I'm off, one day I love you, the next day I hate you. Drives me nuts. I don't know how you live like that. She came to church that Sunday morning. Nothing special. I have no idea what I preached on. I had a normal church service. We had singing, offerings, praying, preaching, teaching, etc. Got done with the service, getting ready to go home, and one of the deacons ran into me and says, Pastor, you got to see this. Come back. So I walked back. We had three offices. Mine was the one in one corner. Kirk Mellons was here, and we had Jackie's, the secretary, which worked a couple days a week in another area. Took me in that office, and they said, we want you to see this. There was a roll of them. 13 envelopes. She had missed 13 weeks, and there were 13 envelopes. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. They only gave $30 a week. It wouldn't have made or broken our church one way or the other. It wouldn't have even made it better. But it meant something to God. Are you listening? It meant something to God. You build a church on people. 13 weeks were gone, that offering is in the plate. We missed our missions conference, we're here for the offering. My friend, it's just simple stuff. This poor widow came, and Jesus was impressed with her. Why? He saw what she gave. He saw that she gave. She didn't say, well, I'm a widow and I don't have much. And he saw how she gave. She gave out of her destitution. Everybody else was tipping God. Look at me. $1,000 is more than $10. Kinda. But not if you only have $10. $10 is a lot more than $1,000. I already know. I guarantee you there's a couple people in this church. One of them is teaching Sunday school right now. I've never looked at her giving, but I would be willing to bet she sacrificed. Did you hear the word? Sacrifice for the missions conference. And I know why. Because there's something about that girl, woman, that is a servant. How about you? You say, I gave $500 out of your what? There's a last concept. Look at Matthew chapter 6. It's not talked about as much, and I'm just going to mention it and be done. This concept is not directly addressed in Mark 12, but I think it's indirectly addressed, especially from the previous verses. It answers a different question. Jesus saw what she gave, the small amount. He saw that she gave. She didn't make excuses. He saw how she gave. She gave out of her necessities. I mean, she wasn't giving a tip. She wasn't thinking, now, I don't want to give too much because I might not be able to go on my fourth vacation this week. She was giving everything. It was hurting her. I think Jesus also saw why she gave. And my friend, look at me. I'm almost done. Forgive me for being a little long. If I saw everything you ever did for the Lord, there's one piece I can't see. Can't see the why. Can't see it. But Jesus describes some of it in Matthew 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. Why? To be seen of them. My friend, if that's what you're looking for, wonderful. But this woman wasn't interested in that. He says, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thy alms, let not thy right hand know what thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret may reward thee openly. You say, well, what did Jesus see? Jesus looked out and he saw a little woman. Maybe, we don't know for sure. These things look like trumpets. So maybe the sounding of the trumpet was literally, and maybe it was also you threw your money in so everybody would hear it rattling around. You could impress folks. She didn't have much. He saw what she gave. He saw that she didn't make excuses, that she gave. He saw how she gave out of her necessities, her want. I mean, this was her lunch today. And I'm guessing he saw why she gave. It wasn't like other people who wanted everybody to notice how wonderful they are. By the way, I'm done with this. That crowd doesn't do much and only does something if people are watching. Look at me. The people that serve God in all areas aren't interested in who's watching. Somebody's watching. The Lord's watching. And the only one that matters is Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for this text. I thank you more for this church.